Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and you might want to be a little more careful when you buy your groceries this week. Rose Acre Farms ordered 200 million eggs off of supermarket shelves. It's one of the largest recalls ever of eggs in this country, and it all came after health officials traced a salmonella outbreak to one of its farms in North Carolina. Ben Chapman joined me to explain this recall. He's a food science professor at North Carolina State University. He's also co-host of the Food Safety Talk podcast.
The recall was announced over the weekend, and it's hard to exactly say how long these eggs have been in production, but I understand that the farm produces somewhere around 20 million eggs per week. So we're probably looking at eggs that have been distributed over the last 10 weeks or so.
20 million eggs per week is just a staggering number. How many people got sick?
To date, there are 22 illnesses. But one of the things that is a little bit interesting about salmonella is that for every illness that we have confirmed, we expect that there's somewhere around 38 other illnesses floating around out there that aren't confirmed. These are people that are sick, but maybe not sick enough to go to the hospital or submit a stool sample to their healthcare provider. So many times with outbreaks like this, it seems like, you know, it's only 22 people, but we can multiply that by about 40.
Well, what happens on the egg farm, on the chicken farm itself, to enable an outbreak like this to get started in the first place? What are the lapses?
It's really, I guess, unclear right now. I think it's early on in the outbreak. In the past, it's really nothing complicated. Salmonella can infect and colonize the chickens themselves, even right into the ovary. So it really could be a situation where the salmonella is in the environment. It's passed from chicken to chicken over time. The chickens don't get sick from this type of salmonella. And then it's deposited in those eggs, and those eggs make it to us as consumers. Usually there's nothing super special about it. It's just the salmonella in the environment making its way into the chickens.
So what can be done at home in the kitchen to reduce the risk here if you're not exactly sure where your eggs came from? Is it just full cooking? Make sure you eat them scrambled? Is it as simple as that?
If the salmonella is on the inside of the egg, cracking that egg open can lead to a chance of cross-contamination, meaning that I drag the salmonella from the inside of the egg to other foods or other spots in my kitchen, and that salmonella stays there viable for quite some time. Cooking is definitely a big step to reduce risk. And when it comes to eggs, just cooking those eggs until they set visually will do the majority of work when it comes to risk reduction. And so in this case, there are definitely things that people can do in kitchens to reduce their risk, but I wouldn't just focus solely on cooking.
Well, it sounds like if you have eggs in your fridge from the time of the recall and you're just not sure, you should maybe take the hit and toss them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with eggs, especially when it comes to cartons, is that there will be, on the package, there will be some sort of a code. It'll have a plant number and a date. And so I would look specifically for the lot codes that are associated with that. And in this outbreak, the plant number is P1065. And there were specific lots. It was lot code 11 through 102. And so if I didn't have eggs that had that information on the package, then I'm going to treat them just like I would have any other time. I want to look, you know, specifically for that area. And one of the things with eggs is they're always a risk for salmonella. And, you know, in this case, it may be a higher risk, but we do expect somewhere in between 1 in 10,000 and 1 in 20,000 eggs to have salmonella in it. So it's a riskier food that we should be handling safely sort of all the time.
Ben Chapman of North Carolina State University and host of the Food Safety Talk podcast. Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's get some more on food safety now in an American food supply that relies on mass production. This year is the 25th anniversary of the Jack in the Box E. coli outbreak that spread across 73 stores. It sickened 700 people and led to 4 deaths.
We've got to find ways to do more inspections and to try to do them in a more effective way.
President Bill Clinton there responding to the outbreak back in 1993. That incident changed how the USDA and the FDA monitor and regulate food safety today. And it's part of the reason why my next guest says the recent recalls of eggs and packaged romaine lettuce are actually signs of success. Bill Marler is an attorney who specializes in foodborne illness and safety. He's publisher of the online news site Food Safety News.
I was involved in the Jack in the Box outbreak, representing most of the kids that got sick or died. And so I've been sort of in the middle of this for a long time. And really, for the first 4 or 5 years of my law practice, 90% of my work was E. coli cases linked to hamburger. And, you know, today that's near zero. And so that's a real success story. I mean, E. coli cases linked to hamburger are, you know, at record lows. E. coli actually is down as a percentage of foodborne illnesses. We still see, you know, salmonella outbreaks that are occurring. We're importing a lot more food, so that's a challenge. But overall, sort of the nuts and bolts and the guts of food safety regulation is there. It was built up, frankly, during the Clinton and then the Obama administration. And so I guess you could call it the deep state of foodborne illness is there, and it's actually functioning.
Well, what does that deep state look like? I mean, are we talking about legions of USDA inspectors in egg production facilities all over America, or are producers more serious about the potential marketing cost of outbreaks and so that they're just being cleaner and better?
Yeah, it's really a combination of the technology that exists today for catching outbreaks. When I first started doing this, we were using, you know, very simplistic genetic fingerprinting. We're now using whole genome sequencing. So we're looking at, you know, 3 million bands of the DNA. And that's being able to tell people pretty quickly that, you know, this person, and this food product are connected. And boom, you pull the product off the market. So technology has really advanced the surveillance of foodborne illness, but it does require people. It requires people in public health labs. It requires epidemiologists, you know, on the surveillance side. But to answer your real specific question about what's going on inside food production facilities, the regulations both at USDA and FDA have put more responsibility onto those producers to produce food, not necessarily in the fox guarding the hen house kind of way, but there is oversight. Would I like to see more oversight? Sure. But in the context of real budgets and that kind of pressure, the people at FDA and USDA are doing a remarkable job, and people are less sick, you know, frankly, today. We're catching outbreaks faster. But there's still problems. And, you know, this week, you know, with lettuce and eggs, it's there.
Bill Marler, if there's been one thing that has really defined the Trump administration so far, it's been deregulation. In industry after industry, the Trump administration has moved to loosen or undo rules where they can. Has that affected food safety? Do you see the Trump administration at the USDA or the FDA trying to loosen some of these rules?
You know, I hesitate to say the truth, which is they haven't done it. And I'd say that because I don't want to encourage them to do it. The system's working. You know, it's not perfect. We're always going to have some outbreaks, but they're smaller and we're catching them quicker. So, you know, I know that the president, you know, likes his safe food, and I would continue to urge them to, you know, leave well enough alone. It's working. It's not broken. There's no reason to try to fix it.
Bill Marler, attorney and publisher of the online news site Food Safety News. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.